Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into a bonus episode of 5 Out. I think this is the formula we're going to have going forward rather than have interviews during our regularly scheduled Thursday episodes, which is when we air every week. I think we're going to have the interviews run separately. Maybe we'll react to it a little bit like Matt and I did today at the end of this interview with Mookie Betts, who of course is the reigning American League MVP, World Series champion with the Boston Red Sox. If you found the show, I'm assuming you found us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. Maybe you didn't. Either way, we're over there. If you like the interview, you like the show, if you could go back and leave a rating or review wherever you're listening to us, it would be greatly appreciated. We're also available on the radio.com app. I got to remember to mention that. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at 5OutPod. Again, we air on Thursdays. The episode will drop right around midnight. It'll be there tweeted out for you guys Thursday morning. And now that we have all that out of the way, it's time for the interview with Mookie Betts. Let's get it going.
I'm just trying to be alright with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be alright with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be alright with it, yeah.
We are joined by Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts, and that's actually the last we're going to mention of baseball for this episode, Mookie, because obviously 5 Out is all about basketball. And thanks for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
And the first thing I wanted to ask you about was just how did you get into basketball? Was it watching the game? Was it playing it?
A little of all of that. Both sides of my family are a basketball family. So, I was named after Mookie Blaylock, who played basketball, obviously. So, mm-hmm. It's just kind of been something that, it's been my favorite sport, since I was, able to walk pretty much.
So when you say you were a basketball family, like, did your dad play mm-hmm. in college or anything like that? Mom?
My dad was in service. Okay. But he played, he played in service or whatever. He played against the Globetrotters and a bunch of guys that kind of played in the league and those type of things from Louisville. And then my mom played through high school. She didn't want to play in college. She had a softball scholarship to go to play in college, but okay. She definitely played basketball. So I grew up, my dad and his brothers would be playing against each other out in the yard and all those type of things, and so I learned so much just from mm-hmm. being around everybody.
So growing up in Nashville, I would hope that your team is the Grizzlies, because I had a soft spot for Mike Conley, Zeebo. Is that your team or no?
I don't have a favorite team, just because I like watching just different players do different things, and I like mm-hmm. that's like I've accepted that, I like, it didn't matter who's playing, mm-hmm. I can enjoy watching certain guys and how their game has developed and all those type of things, and so okay. that's how I view the game.
So then who were your guys that you like growing up?
My guys grow up, obviously, like AI was a guy I loved watching. With the size, Chauncey Billups was somebody I really enjoyed watching. Gilbert Arenas, people I enjoy watching. It's crazy because, like Gilbert Arenas, start off, flying and all those type of things. And then as he got a little older, he started, the whole game came around. Like, mm-hmm. and that was when, he was unstoppable at that point. And, I can go on and on about different guys, but. Back then, that's probably who I enjoyed watching the most.
Were those guys, any of those guys you model your game after? Because for those who don't know, you mean, it was Lipscomb, right?
Yeah, a couple of the small
schools. Rob Bradford of the Bradford Show and the
Gilbert
leader.
Yes. 2001 draft.
Yeah, he's right next to us. I wasn't going to say that, but whatever.
Second round.
So, but he told me that you could have walked on at Tennessee. I'm assuming that was when Pearl was there?
Yes, I believe. Yes, I think he was there. I don't remember. It was so long.
Either way. But could you? Was that a thing?
I was gonna try. They weren't very good then, and mm-hmm. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, yes, I definitely would have made it or this, that, and the other. But I was definitely gonna try. They gave me the opportunity, and I love basketball. So why not?
Okay, but Lipscomb did, was it like
offer? Yeah, Lipscomb, no, they did. I didn't get any offers for basketball. I just got recruited.
Okay.
And then they all found out about basketball, I mean about baseball, and then they all stopped recruiting me at that point. So.
Yeah, that'll happen. So when you look at the game, kind of, you're still a fan of it just as much as you were growing up as a kid, would you say?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and do you follow NBA more or college more?
NBA.
Okay. Definitely so NBA. When, actually, you know what, I got to ask you, when it comes to LeBron, MJ, mm-hmm. where do you stand on that one?
Oh, I mean, it's, I can't sit here and be like, one's the GOAT, one's not, because like, MJ's done stuff that LeBron hasn't done, and mm-hmm. you know, LeBron's done stuff MJ hasn't done. So I mean,
it's a tough one for pro athletes to answer.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, you know, being in the professional side, mm-hmm. you know, I can see how, you know, they're different. You know, I mean, people, you can't really compare the two. I mean, they're just who do you want to take? Who do I want to take the last shot of the game?
There we go.
I mean, I would probably go. You know, you got to go MJ, you know, yes. you know, you got to go MJ, but you know, who do I want to kind of build a team around? I mean, you could definitely argue MJ, but you can definitely say LeBron too, because LeBron's going to do, you know, he's got the mental side that kind of gets everybody involved, and you know, he makes everybody around him better. Yep. I'm not saying MJ didn't, mm-hmm. but it's blatantly obvious that LeBron does.
Yeah, know, because so. Everybody's swarming around him, and you can kick out the way the game's evolved mm-hmm. now, drive and kick. Absolutely. And yeah. What do you think? So we, you know, we call ourselves 5-out, but we're not necessarily big fans of everybody just camping around the perimeter. What do you make about the way the game's kind of evolved in that sense? Because I mean, for you, were you a 3-point shooter too, or were you more of a facilitator?
I was more of a facilitator. I could shoot a three, but I was like a mid range guy, and then
we love the mid range J on our show. Right, it's going to be one of our first T-shirts. We love, like, I heart the mid range J.
Yeah, that's a. Mid-range J is a game changer for sure. It opens everything up.
It's like everybody loses their mind over Jason. I don't know how much you see on. You're on Twitter, I forget. You are, right?
Yeah, not a whole lot, but yeah.
You have an account, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see like how Celtics fans kind of lose it over Jason Tatum and his mid-range shot. And sometimes we hear on the radio, too. I have no problem with it. I'm curious what you think about guys taking mid-range Js in the NBA right now.
I think it's amazing. You take a mid-range jumper, now they got to play a little closer, now you get that, opens up, you know, your lane for Tatum to slash, and you know, whoever has to slash and do whatever else they need to do. But if you don't have a mid-range jumper, in my opinion, if you don't have a mid-range jumper, I don't think you can make it to the NBA unless you just are really filling it up from three.
Yeah, there's not many guys that, unless you're Steph, right?
Yeah.
But he even gets it from
way back there. So
like, as a pro athlete who's obviously, you know, won an MVP and done well in his sport, seeing a guy like LeBron who's so dominant at what he does, and then Steph, who, as much as LeBron's dominant, Steph and what he does shooting is just, you can say what you want about Clay and KD, mm-hmm. but what he does to me is just ridiculous. And a guy who's a smaller guy, I feel like you would appreciate him a little bit more. And you guys have met him too, right? He's a family team.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. He, you know, I think he's probably, you know, the best shooter the game's ever seen. I mean, off the dribble, off screens, you know, from anywhere. I mean, he's just, you know, like I said, the best shooter I think the game's ever seen. And, you know, it like kind of helps and hurts because, you know, kids now think that that's what they have to do to make it to the NBA. And being on the professional side, it's like, you know, the people have gifts. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets those gifts.
No. Nope.
And so you have to figure out your niche or whatever, and that's it. And so you have to figure out, sometimes you have to just take the traditional route and be more athletic and all those type of things. And so, but now, and then now you start seeing 7-footers doing that type of stuff. I mean, it's, you know, the game, like, come on, bro.
Not everybody's Dirk.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know you got to get going, so I got to wrap it up. We got two more questions. One I wanted to ask you is, I know you go to a fair amount of games, right? Celtics games?
Yeah, I go to a pretty decent amount.
So, do you get to, you know, we see with all these teams around here how guys, you know, go and support each other. You guys as a team went to the Bruins and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Are there any NBA guys that you're at all friendly with?
Chris Paul, you know, is probably the one I'm
he's had a
closest
off,
with, yeah. You know, I talked to James Harden some of the guys here. I just don't, try and, you know, get too close or do anything of that nature. You know, if a friendship develops, then, you know, it develops. But I don't go out of my way to try and, be friends or anything, because they have their life. They got a lot going on, and I don't want to, you know, be in their way trying to do anything. You know, hey, you know, can I have some tickets to the game? I'm not going to be that guy. You know, I can get my own tickets to the game. So, you know, if I see them there, I'll shake their hand and keep it moving. You know, it's not no conversations as far as, you know, hey, how's your family, this, that, and the other. I mean, like I said, if it develops, it develops. But mm-hmm. I just let it try and be natural.
So then the last thing is, of course, being in Boston, I got to know what your take is on the Celtics going into this year. They get Kanter, they got Kemba.
Yeah.
You know, the guys are out of town, Kyrie, which the whole thing was a mess, looks like. But what do you think about going into this year after what happened last year?
I mean, I think they'll be fine. I mean, Kemba's going to come in, and I think – Kyrie's pretty irreplaceable. You know, he's really good, but I think he'll step in and definitely fill that role, and he brings a lot to the table. Kanter obviously is a big body in there. They kind of, you know, plays D. Obviously, he gets rebounds and he scores. I don't know how much scoring he does.
He's pretty
good
scorer. He's pretty good on the glass.
I know he's good around the rim. I don't know about shooting and all that.
No, he's working on that. Yeah, everybody's got to do it. Right,
yeah. You know, I think you know, obviously Tatum's going to be fine. Smart will be fine. I think the wild card is going to be Jaylen Brown, though.
Ooh.
I think just because for some reason, like, he's stupid athletic. He's a great, good, you know, good guy, great player. But I think he's just got to fit. We got to figure out what kind of player he is. I think he has to figure out what kind of player he is first.
I think that's fair.
And, you know, he can shoot it, but he didn't shoot it well enough to say, okay, he's a 3-point shooter that plays D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he, I don't, I don't, I'm not sure he has like a mid-range jumper that can. You know, he can't. I don't know how. I don't know what spot.
Depends on the night.
You know. Yeah. You know. I think if you get certain guys to a spot, like, more than likely they're going to score.
You should have seen him and Smart going at it with Giannis.
Really?
Team USA. Yeah. Smart was throwing Giannis around like a rag doll.
Oh, was he?
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. Mookie, you got to get going. I appreciate you taking the time very much, man. Thank you.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Big thanks again to Mookie Betts for coming on the show. Matt and I wanted to react to it a little bit quickly. Maybe we'll hear from Tyler in our normal episode this week. We've got a lot planned for you guys there, obviously, too. So, Matt, I would say there were a couple things that stood out to me. Obviously, it was a short interview. He had to get going for the Yankees game, which I believe they ended up losing that one. But I think the first thing that stood out to me was at the end where we talked about Jaylen Brown and him being kind of the X factor when it comes to the Celtics. And I talked to him a little bit afterward about Jason Tatum, because he's very high on Tatum, high on all these guys, and like, you know what you're going to get with each one for the most part. I think Jason Tatum, I don't want to say he's a wild card, but he's not as much of a lock as Mookie thinks he's going to be. I think he'll take a step forward, but I do think his assessment of Jaylen Brown right now in that we just don't know what he's going to be. As much as I'm high on him, you still don't know what he's going to be this year.
Well, I think his take on that was pretty spot on to what I agree with, because I think Jaylen Brown is the unknown. Like, and obviously, you know, Tyler's a big Brown guy, and it's not like I don't want to be a Brown guy. He's an unknown. Like, he could, like, I think he's the X factor if the Celtics are going to go to where they want to go.
Okay. It is. He's, and that's why when you want, like, when they don't give him a deal yet, you got to wonder, are they thinking the same thing? But then it's like the Kawhi rumor that Mannix reported after everything. I just don't get how there's not been.
I think it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I would have to believe at this point, you know, unless they truly don't believe in him, which I don't think that's the case, clearly, after all the stuff that's happened. But I just think the deal's going to happen. Just a matter of when.
And they have time after Team USA is done. Even if they go all the way, they still have time. Now, the other thing that came up, too, in the course, because we just want to keep this brief for you guys. This is just a bonus episode. I talked to him about, like, Steph Curry and everything, because I know Steph Curry has gone to Red Sox games. I think, and been in the clubhouse, I think it was more so when Poppy was there. At least it was more, he got a little bit more FaceTime or whatever. But talking about Steph and how he has just some kind of natural ability and everything. Obviously, with anybody who plays at a high level, they have some level of natural ability. But him talking about that versus him talking about the mid-range jumper and how it's like you have to have a mid-range jumper to be a good player. When I was talking to him, I was like, Matt is going to absolutely love both this, because it's exactly what he talks about, what's wrong with the league. Everybody's trying to be the Warriors, and in doing so, you abandon the mid-range jumper.
Mookie, amen, brother. Like you said it, he said it point on, like, and we talk about great. I've probably said this. I don't even know how many episodes, but you know, if you're going to be a great scorer, you got to score at all three levels. And that mid-range jumper, I believe, is a very important part to being a great player, because you can't just be a three-point shooter. You just can't be, I can only get to the basket. You got to have three. I think basketball is made to have three different levels to your game. And hearing it from Mookie, I think that's pretty, you know, pretty unique, as like, you know, he's a professional athlete. He played basketball. So, you know, I appreciate a man that knows his stuff.
You know, in the middle of the interview too, or when I did it, I was like, you know, so adamant about not talking about baseball with him, which was easy to do. But I was like, I think I mentioned in the course of it that he was the MVP, but I forgot to introduce him as the reigning MVP. I was like, Jesus, Nick, how do you just interview him as an outfielder? Mookie Betts, good God. But he seemed like he had a good time and everything. Hopefully we can get him on again down the line. You interested if we can try and get other guys from other sports, whether it's Boston or, I mean, Boston's going to be easier, but getting other guys who are basketball fans on again in the future? Do you like how that came out?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool hearing a professional athlete's take on basketball that, you know, might not be a basketball player, or like in Mookie's case, a guy that, you know, he could have been a D1, you know, walk-on, or, you know, at the other college too. He could have, you know, he could have played. He could have been a scholarship player. So I think it's pretty cool hearing their take on the game, even though they don't, you know, necessarily play professional basketball. I think it's pretty cool.
So then our goal will now be Antonio Brown?
Yeah. What are you going to do? You have $9 million you're going to give him before we interview him? Because he ain't coming on for free.
I'm going to tell him that we can have him on and he can say anything he wants about John Gruden the entire time.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hashtag business is booming.
Anyways, if you guys haven't already, I know I've plugged it a couple times throughout the episode, but you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, 5OutPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_Madeira01. Tyler is at Tyler Devitt, and I am at Nick_Fryer. We will talk to you guys again on Thursday.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be alright with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.